for many other forced capture and putting women into slavery. It's part of their whole way of, I don't even want to say thinking, because it's not thinking. It's just a barbarism. So I don't know what we're going to do to strengthen ourselves and repel this evil. But I know people are working on it. And, you know, that kind of leads me into Trump's visit to the Middle East, where he talked about the losers, he called them, the people who are perpetrating this kind of terrorism. And I don't know. To me, it's kind of a mixed bag. I mean, you can say one thing, but when you're in bed with these nations that have not been innocent at all of this kind of activity and supporters of groups, it's very hard to understand where it's all going to lead. I mean, I think it's interesting that Trump and Ivanka and Melania went to the wall and put prayers there and prayed. And prayer is always good. And it brought a light and attention to Jerusalem, the capital of Israel. And, you know, there are those who want to rip that away from the Jewish people. But it isn't going to happen, folks. It's just not going to happen. So those are some of the things that are on my mind. On another note, I saw an excellent film at the Kendall called The Wedding Plan. And it shows an observant woman who is, you know, getting on. She's not a young girl anymore, and she's got her own business, but she wants to get married. And for one reason or another, it just hasn't happened. She has gone to various matchmakers. And so it's her journey of desperation and trying to remedy the situation of her being single and alone. And it's actually a comedy. And I have to say that the acting and the script were so fabulous. Plus, there are two actors who are just beautiful to look at. They're gorgeous. So just for that alone, I would recommend seeing it. But it's a wonderful film. So it's showing in a couple of the independent theaters. I think over the one in West Newton, the West Newton Cinema, the Kendall, and I'm not sure. I know it was showing in one or two other places. But anyway, it was a very good film. She had also done a film on a more serious nature about the Haredi, or the strictly observant Jewish community, which, you know, I had seen that also was very good. So, let's see, was there anything else? I got lots of new music to share with you. And Dylan's birthday. Yes, Dylan's birthday. He's had a great year, last couple of months, you know, getting the Nobel Peace Prize. So I have some Dylan with me. I'll be playing some of that. And let's see, what do we want to start us off with? As I say, I have all kinds of new stuff that I don't think I've played. Maybe I've played once before. This is the Hot 8 Brass Band. And why not? We'll start off with that. See if the machine wants to, it says. Well, let's see. Well, we'll just do the title cut and see what that's about. You're on WMFO Medford. You're listening to The Voice Mobile, and I'm your host, Joyce the Voice.
Too hot, too hot, too hot, too hot, to the H-O-T, to the H-O-T.
Well, I could have listened to that a lot longer. That was very nice. We were listening to... No, where did I put it? I'm just... Okay, that was Larry Newcomb Quartet with Bucky Pizzarelli, and it's a living tribute. Let's see, we got that from the Kate Smith Promotions group, which is great. They've been sending me some great material. And it says, Dick Hall was the first master guitarist I ever met. His influence was pivotal. We became bandmates, college roommates, and lifelong friends. Dick passed away in June 2016. I am inspired to express my gratitude for Dick's musicianship, his friendship, his family, and our mutual friends with this album, a living tribute to individuals who have had an immensely positive impact on me. How nice. And we listened to the first cut. Let's see if I can get my glasses on here. The liner notes are always a little bit too tiny for me to read without the glasses. Okay, I Remember You, dedicated to Dick Hall. I remember first meeting Dick Hall at the University of Maine in 1970. The keyboardist in my college rock band said, there's someone you must meet. He took me to Dick's dorm room. When the door opened, there stood a lanky Abe Lincoln lookalike, wearing corduroy pants with a whale worn off at the knees. In my house growing up, it wasn't okay to wear whale-worn pants. I thought to myself, I like this guy. He's different. He's himself. I asked him to play something on the old Gibson Les Paul special guitar he held. He fired up Jethro Tull's Benefit album and nailed Martin's Barry solo on Teacher. Next, Led Zeppelin and then Hendrix. Dick easily pulled off the guitar parts note perfect. I was catapulted into another world. So, very nice. Well, we'll be hearing more off of this CD for sure. As I say, I have a lot of new material. Let's see if there's anything more that they said on this. It's sometimes interesting. Fellow guitarists acknowledge Larry Newcomb's improvisations are impressive. His single note lines describe the chord changes brilliantly and completely, and that was by Bucky Pizzarelli. And John Gorelick from Downbeat, who is actually he's a Somerville resident, unless he's moved and I didn't know it. Downbeat on the Larry Newcomb Quartet's previous release. Everyone involved makes the familiar sound brand new. That's especially true of the leader with this fluid attack and varied phrasing. And yeah, that's great. So, what else? It's the holiday of Shavuos is fast approaching. And I'll be talking a little bit about that. It's coming Tuesday evening, May 30th. And that begins the two-day holiday of Shavuos, or Shavuot, if you're Sephardic pronunciation. And the Yisker service, the memorial service for people who have passed, is on Thursday, June 1st. So it's the anniversary and celebration of the giving of the Torah on Mount Sinai to the Jewish people 3,328 years ago. It is a time of rededication and commitment to learning Torah. So you can go to aish.com/holidays and click on Shavuos. This comes from their aish.com Shabbat Shalom weekly website. And it says, there's question and answer. What is Shavuos and how is it celebrated? The Torah calls Shavuos the Festival of Weeks. The very word Shavuos is Hebrew for weeks. It refers to the 7 weeks that one counts from the second day of Passover, when the Omer or barley offering is brought, until the holiday of Shavuos. It is one of the three regalim holidays. Pesach and Sukkot are the other two, where every man in the land of Israel was commanded to come up to Jerusalem to celebrate the festival when the Beit HaMikdash, the Holy Temple, stood in Jerusalem. Torah is the lifeblood of the Jewish people. Our enemies have always known that when we Jews stop learning Torah, our assimilation is inevitable. Without knowledge, there is no commitment. One cannot love what he does not know. A person cannot do or understand what he has never learned. A Jew is commanded to study Torah day and night and to teach it to his children. If a Jew wants his family to be Jewish and his children to marry other Jews, then he must integrate a Torah study program into his life and implement the teachings into his home and his being. One can tell his children anything, but only if they see their parents learning and doing mitzvot will they inherit the love of being Jewish. Remember, a parent only owes his child three things. Example, example, example. I love it. How can we utilize this opportunity to grow and strengthen our self-identity as Jews? Just as a baby crawls, then toddles, and then walks. Likewise, the mitzvot or commandments. A person should undertake one more mitzvah, do it well, and then build on it. For some mitzvot that you might enjoy taking on, one is read the Torah. The Almighty gave it to you as a gift. It is the instruction book for living, how to be happy, choose the right spouse, make your marriage work, raise your children with values, get more joy out of life. I highly recommended the Art Scroll Stone Chumash, Five Books of Moses. To attend a Torah class. If you wish to listen to recorded classes, try 613.org or haudio.com to download over 2,000 classes for your MP3 player. Wow! Buy a copy of Pirkei Avot, The Ethics of the Fathers, and read one page a day. It contains concentrated wisdom about life. 3. Make sure you have a kosher mezuzah scroll on at least your front door. A Jewish home should have mezuzah on all doorposts except for the bathrooms. Learn the deep inner meaning of mezuzah and reflect on it when you look at the mezuzah. To Be a Jew by Rabbi Chaim Dunin nicely explains a lot of things. 4. Pick one non-kosher food item that you won't eat just because you're Jewish. 5. Say the Shema in its 3 following paragraphs at least once a day. Learn what the words mean and the ideas included. It will change your outlook and attitudes. Art Scroll publishes a book on the Shema, or look at the commentary in the Art Scroll Siddur. Lisa Aiken's book, Hidden Beauty of the Shema, is spectacular. Now that's a book I'm not familiar with. I'm going to have to go and find that. You can go to the Israel Bookstore, and I'm sure they can help you out there. They're over in Brookline on Harvard Street. 6. Do something to make Shabbat special. Light 2 candles with a blessing before sundown. Have a Shabbat Friday night family dinner and make Kiddush and Hamotzi, the prayer before eating the challahs, the special loaves of bread. You might want to buy Friday Night and Beyond by Lori Palatnik, which is a hands-on guide for the novice wanting to enjoy Shabbat. The Talmud says, all beginnings are difficult. If you need help or have questions, please feel free to call me. And he gives a number, 815-301-1928, or email to kp@aish.com. On Shavuot, there is a custom to stay up all night learning Torah. Virtually every synagogue and yeshiva have scheduled learning throughout the night, ending with the praying of Shacharit, the morning service. The reason? The morning the Jewish people were to receive the Torah on Mount Sinai, they overslept. We can now rectify the tendency to give in to our desires by demonstrating our resolve through learning the whole night. It is a meaningful experience to share with your children. It would be wonderful if you could find a synagogue, JCC, or yeshiva with a program that night. At a very minimum, how about reading the story of the giving of the Torah to your family in Exodus 19, chapter 19, verses 10 through 20. For more on Shavuos, go to aishaudio.com. So that's a lot of information, and this is all from the Rabbi Kalman Packwitz newsletter at aish.com. So I know I will be with a community of people, the Talner Chevrat, observing Shavuos. Now, because school is out, the Hillel here at Tufts, and many of the Hillels are not having events, but there are Chabad houses. I know there's Chabad in serving the Tufts community, and they're up on the hill there. The rabbi and his wife and children are wonderful and welcoming people, and I'm sure you can find them online. I don't have their exact contact information, but there are Chabad places all over the Boston area. So I want to share something else with you about the recent visits to Jerusalem by the president. He said, quote, we will always, actually, no, that is not a quote from the president. This is a quote from Psalms. As the mountains are round about Yerushalayim, so Hashem is round about his people from this time forth and forever. This is by Ilana Masika on May 24th, 10:30 this morning. She was quoting, we will always insist on Jerusalem, affirms President Rivlin on the 50th anniversary of unification, which is today. President Rivlin opened Israel's official celebration of the 50th anniversary of the Six-Day War and the reunification of Jerusalem Tuesday, pledging Israel's commitment to the capital and especially to the Old City. Rivlin spoke about the difficult battle for the city in 1967 and recalled the moment he heard the Old City had been secured under Israeli control. We gave our all for Jerusalem because we knew that on Jerusalem we must insist, said the president at the Western Wall. We will always insist on Jerusalem, Rivlin reiterated. There never has been, there never will be any other reality. Here in these stones beats the heart of the Jewish people. Jerusalem is the heart of the state of Israel, and the Kotel is the heart of Jerusalem. Colonel Mota Gross called, the Temple Mount is in our hands, over an IDF wireless device on June 7, 1967, quickly became a defining moment for a generation of Israelis. The troops' capture of the Old City came 2 days after Israel launched a preemptive strike against Egyptian forces in response to Cairo's closure of the Straits of Tehran. The attack ignited war with Egypt and Syria, but Prime Minister Levi Eshkol sent word to Jordan's King Hussein that Israel would not attack the Jordanians if they did not enter the war. Well, of course, however, Hussein refused and began shelling Jewish communities in western Jerusalem. Israel responded and gained control of the eastern part of the city during the fighting. In all, Israel tripled in size during the war, gaining control of the Sinai Peninsula, the Golan Heights, Judea and Samaria, the Gaza Strip, and eastern Jerusalem. However, since the war, Israel's claim of sovereignty in Jerusalem and the holy sites has been the subject of international dispute. Just at the beginning of the month, the UNESCO Executive Board passed a resolution denying Israeli sovereignty over Jerusalem, the second such resolution in recent months. President Rivlin urged to contemplate Jerusalem as a symbol of unity instead of dispute between peoples and called for bringing peace to Jerusalem. The city of Jerusalem that was once a divided city is the same city where Jews and Arabs, religious and secular people, find the space to live together, to meet and get to know each other, to build a shared Jerusalem together, stated President Rivlin. As we mark the half a century since the city was united, I believe the time has come to bring peace to Jerusalem, to grow within her an Israeli hope, a hope for Jerusalem, the city which welcomes pilgrims from all communities, from all over the world. On Yom Yerushalayim, I ask you all to draw from the power of Jerusalem, from the history of Jerusalem, from the beauty of Jerusalem, so we will know how to build our futures together. It is not enough that the city is unified if its people are still divided, concluded Rivlin. And it does go continue on. This is from the Breaking Israel News site. Hundreds of people participated in the ceremony, including representatives of the IDF units liberated Jerusalem in 1967, current IDF Chief of Staff Gadi Eisenkot, and Mayor of Jerusalem Nir Barkat, who paid tribute to the fallen soldiers who liberated the Old City and the Western Wall. According to the Foreign Ministry, between 776 and 983, IDF soldiers were killed during the battle for Jerusalem. 4,517 people, it sounded like it was today. It's between 776 and 983 soldiers, IDF soldiers, were killed during the battle for Jerusalem. 4,517 people were wounded and 15 Israeli soldiers were taken prisoner. IDF Chief of Staff Gadi Eisenkot lauded the spirit of patriotism, comradeship, and courage of the brigade's fighters who gave the Jewish people their eternal capital 5 decades ago. He also reminded that with this privilege offered by the IDF soldiers also comes the responsibility to protect the state and ensure its existence and prosperity. 5 decades have passed since the Six-Day War. The Middle East changes its face, threats expand and take shape. The IDF became stronger to adapt itself to the challenges of the future. But one thing remains unchanged: the commitment, dedication, and responsibility of the Israeli warriors, stated Eisenkot. Here in the heart of our eternal capital and in front of the Western Wall, IDF fighters stand up throughout the year and swear allegiance to the State of Israel, and from generation to generation preserve the heritage, the courage, and the fighting spirit of the Six-Day War soldiers. Breaking Israeli News offers news from Israel and from an Orthodox Jewish perspective to both Jewish and Christian readers. We encourage open dialogue and welcome respectful questions. Okay, so that's all of that. Let's see. I want to find something special to follow that with. And let's see. Well, Voices for Israel would be good. That, and I'm looking for one other special CD. And let's see if I can, Shlomo Kalbach, of course, my Rebbe. And so, let's, here we go. One of the CD players is apparently being persnickety, which often happens. So I'm not going to use that one. So we have to juggle things just a little bit here. This is from Songs of Peace. And we'll do... Okay, here we go. It's loading. Good. All right.
Yerushalayim, Yerushalayim, Yir HaKodesh, Yerushalayim, Yir HaKodesh. B'meheyed b'yomeinu, friends, you have to join me, otherwise it will not sound good. Let's go. Uvnei Yerushalayim, Yerushalayim, Mirakoidesh, Yerushalayim, Mirakoidesh, Bimeheiro Biomeinu. And there was a voice in heaven. This is a passage in the Psalms. Poyeshev kibisiu, God says, this is my place. This is the place where my holiness should dwell forever. Oh, the name of Shalayim. Yeah.
have I become when all I feel is numb to the numbers? Well, that's all they are to me now. Can't read the news anymore. It's all the same to me. It's all monotony. When did I grow so cynical? Nothing helps me. Nothing helps, you see. A wave of helplessness has washed me away, and I can't get back. I am lost without you. I need to be with you. How can I help ease your pain? Just tell me what to do. I am here without you, standing in the cold. How can I help ease your pain, city of gold?
Oh dear, I had, what happened to the CD that I, oh, I see what I'm doing. I took one CD out and I'm looking for the other one. It's right there. Right there. All right. Today is Yom Yerushalayim, so I'm definitely playing some songs that feature that theme, the reunification of Jerusalem, and how important that is for all of us.
Alone in a city suspended between heaven and earth, where whispered prayers have carved the stones. This is where Abraham journeyed with Isaac his son. And when David anointed his capital, this was the one. King Solomon's throne, Yerushalayim, fills me with love. Stirring amidst a modern nation, gleaming brightly with ancient gold. So hard to explain her incomparable beauty, or hold back tears when you touch her walls. This is where Solomon built our first Beit HaMikdash. While it's sacred to many, it's the holiest site for us. Yerushalayim, our sanctified soul. Yerushalayim, the Maccabeor. Yerushalayim, hear how new. Yerushalayim, King Solomon's throne. Yerushalayim fills me with love. From the Western Wall to Haratzofim, from Rehavia to Me'ah She'arim, she's all of our hopes and she's all of our dreams. Yerushalayim, like blossoming flowers on desolate branches, imbued with the spirit of things divine, with shops and schools and places of worship, the tree of life has been revived. This is where prophecy told of an end to our tears. What a wonderful thing to come home after 2,000 years. Yerushalayim, tishkach yemini, she's all of our hopes and she's all of our dreams. Yerushalayim, find our city embattled, they target buses and cafes, but their bombs will never break our spirit, for this is our heart and we're here to stay.
This is our heart,
this is our heart,
this is our heart, and we're here to stay. Yerushalayim,
we all need bitachon.
Yerushalayim,
oh Jehovah.
Yerushalayim, Yerushalayim,
this is our heart and we're here to stay.
Okay, that was Bitachon, Yerushalayim 5763. That's the Hebrew calendar year. And it's from the compilation Chazak Yameinu, We Stand as One. Before that, we heard Blue Fringe, and the song is City of Gold, which is, of course, Jerusalem. Chazak, that's also from the Chazak Yameinu, Voices for Israel. And before that, Shlomo Karlbach, Shalom, Uvenei Yerushalayim, from his CD called Songs of Peace on Sojourn Records. And I opened up the set with the Hot 8 Brass Band, their new CD On the Spot, and also followed by Larry Newcomb Quartet with Bucky, oh, I think I spelled that wrong, Pizzarelli. The song is I Remember You, and it's a CD called Living Tribute. It's a composition by Victor Scherzinger from 1941. So, let's see, I wanted to share a couple of things with you. Oops, oh. Pressing on the wrong button here. Go away. let me just see if I can get in there and correct. We have, if you go to our website, wmfo.org, then there you will find, I'm furiously typing in the things that I'm playing both so that you can know what they are and maybe find them if you'd like to, you know, download them or purchase them. A lot of the music that I get from the folks at the Israel Bookstore and also from several promoters of different types. So I usually try to give them thanks and credit. A lot of the jazz comes from, where is it, Kate? Let's see if I can find one that has her. Nope, that's a different one. Well, I will find it and tell it to you. Anon. So this is an article that kind of is relevant. It's by Arnold M. Eisen. And actually, just in case I don't have time, I want to mention something going on. One thing is that I talked about was the film at the Brattle Theater, and the current schedule, which they actually have downstairs at Curtis Hall, where the post office is. So the film that I just spoke about, let's see how long it's going to be. Oh, I see a David Lynch film. David Lynch film is there. I know that there's a big excitement about Twin Peaks, new issues, new after 20-some years or 25 years. So let me see. June, we want May. And May 20... It's very hard to read the schedule for me. Let's see. Oh, I see how they've got the numbers stuck in there. Okay, so... Ah, this is the Brattle Theater, and I was talking to you about Kendall. Okay, so there's other things going on. So let's see what's coming up at the Brattle Theater tonight. Has The Social Network, and the author is going to be there in person. That's a 7 p.m. showing, and there's The Death of Louis the 14th. That's the area premiere. That's at 4 o'clock, so you have 10 minutes to get there. It's also showing tomorrow at the same time, so if you're not going to get there today, you could get there tomorrow. And then there's Haima Ini, Sigurd Rose double feature. There's a 7:30. Oh, let's see. Haima is the 7:30 showing, and Ini is the 9:30 showing. It's Sigur Rós double feature. Okay. So they're going to do Twin Peaks during reunion week on the 27th. Reunion week. So they're doing In Cold Blood. That's on the 30th. Malcolm X on the 1st of June. That's a 7 o'clock showing. Anyway, they have all kinds of interesting things at the Brattle Theater. It's a good nonprofit theater to patronize. That's the word I want. You can go to facebook.com, Brattle Theater. They also have a Twitter account. And let's see if they have... Oh, they don't even give you the email. Okay. Well, anyway, you can find them on Facebook and get their schedule. I guess the Blues Brothers are going to be on too. Where is that? They show it on the cover, but I don't see it in the schedule. Where? They also are showing The Seven Beauties, the films of Lena Wertmüller. That's from June 11th through the 15th. And then on the 16th, they've got The French Connection. They got some great films coming up. So I see the Blues Brothers there on the 18th. And all right, so that's that. So now let me share this letter from Arnold M. Eisen, who is the chancellor of the Jewish Theological Seminary. Now, this was published a while back, but I think it's very relevant, so I'm going to share it, because it's about boycotting Israel, and we don't want that. Over 300,000 Jewish college students have arrived, or will arrive, of course now they've left, shortly on American campuses. And what they experience there is likely not only to broaden their minds and uproot long-held assumptions, but shake their Jewish selves to the core. They will contend with powerful faculty and student voices, accusing them of complicity in a regime of privilege and oppression here in America, and of colonialism, genocide, and apartheid in Israel. The boycott, divestment, and sanctions movement and its campus allies have had little impact thus far, either on the investments made by universities or the policies of the governments of Israel or the United States. They are, however, diverting enormous time and resources from important work of Jewish education and community building. No less important, they are causing untold numbers of students to keep their heads down where Israel and Judaism are concerned, and to feel ashamed when they have every reason to be proud. I am not afraid that Jews or other college students will fall for the big lie about Israel. The world is a dangerous mess right now, nowhere more than in the Middle East. Simplistic narratives of good and evil, like those pronounced by the BDS movement, are unlikely to prove persuasive to anyone who reads up on the matter or exercises their minds. Well, unfortunately, I think a lot of people make up their minds without doing a lot of research and are swayed by some of this obnoxious material. So, anyway, he says, he continues, but I do fear growing doubt among some Jewish undergraduates that the Jewish community and tradition are worthy of their involvement and commitment. I worry about increased suspicion, thanks in part to language endorsing BDS positions in the platform released by a coalition affiliated with the Black Lives Movement, that students can stand up for justice as Jews and can fight mass incarceration and racism as supporters of Israel. I want all to know that they can and should maintain deep ties to the Jewish community and tradition at the same time as they claim membership in larger communities and work alongside others for universal causes of justice and peace. My message to students this fall, and I'd say during your college years, in this, have pride in your Judaism. Learn about its history and Israel's. Keep your minds and hearts open. Maintain the moral courage to reject claims that Israel practices apartheid and genocide, because they are unequivocally false. Work to create spaces on campus where one can openly and lovingly question choices and actions made by Israel's leadership and America's, without giving up attachment to either. As Jews, we must stand beside those fighting against inequality and injustice, and should do so regardless of the incorrect views that others hold of Judaism and Israel. As a committed Jew, I am commanded to have unceasing concern for both Jewish learning and the struggle for justice. That same passion attracts me to the State of Israel, which I view as an attempt to translate age-old Jewish values into policy. This attempt, which will always fall far short of perfection, deserves our enduring support and, when necessary, our critique. Like any nation, Israel requires such challenge and correction if it is to remain true to its founding ideals. Israel has a lot to figure out. Many wrongs do make right incredible achievements on which to build. currents of bigotry to overcome, a proud tradition of democracy, the only one in the Middle East, folks, to develop, and the hopes of many millions and many centuries that it dare not betray. But history shows that whenever people say that Jews or any other group are likely to blame for significant portions of the world's ills, or that things would be perfect if only Jews stopped insisting that we too have a right to live in the world, or that the Jewish state or the Jewish community has no right to exist unless it conforms to allegedly quote-unquote universal ideals demanded of no other people as a condition of legitimate survival, something is dangerously wrong. That point of view, which sadly has a long history behind it, must be resisted. Though they will hear its rhetoric and see its demonstrations, few students will ever visit the BDS website, where one learns that the movement is avowedly part of the Palestinian Arab national struggle against the very existence of the State of Israel. BDS materials say nary a word about the partial responsibility of the corrupt Palestinian government in the quote-unquote West Bank, or the murderous Hamas regime in Gaza, for the failure of the peace process thus far. One hears a great deal from BDS and affiliated groups like Jewish Voice for Peace about Jewish and Israeli culpability, but nothing about mistakes made on the Palestinian Arab side, oppression committed by it, the blatant anti-Semitism built into its policies and publications, cruel terror. BDS is silent about the many countries that are guilty of abuses far worse than those charged to Israel. Much of the Middle East is in flames. The Syrian death toll has passed 400,000, and not a single Middle Eastern society guarantees equality and justice for all its citizens, women and men, Christian and Muslim, to anything like the degree that Israel does, however imperfectly.